Oh my God, guys. Guys, it's Andrew Tate. Dude, I'm so, can I get an autograph? Oh my God, sir, how did you make it out of prison?
You made me leave my wife.
No matter what they tell you, the future's up for grabs or no. No matter what they sell you, is there a word for bad miracle? Nobody said the road was endless. Nobody said the climb was friendless. But could we please pretend this?
Come on.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome back to another episode of Talking Pylons. We missed you guys. It's been a hectic 2 weeks, actually. I was deathly ill. No, not deathly, but I had the flu last Monday, and we got to come up with a way that we can get this show on the road, some contingency plans just in case one of us is sick and we can't do the show because it all fell apart. I'm going to throw it over to my co-host, Jake Ratner. What is going on over there, buddy?
I brought back the mustache.
The Muzzy.
The Muzzy's back. It's playoffs for the team I coach, and the boys wanted a mustache, so I brought it back for them. But that's how it's going so far.
You brought back the mustache, and you got rid of the ironing board that was behind you for every single episode that I kept meaning to make a comment about until somebody did.
It's right there. It's not gone. It's right there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is a mainstay for Talking Pylons.
Absolutely.
We'll toss it on over to our other co-host, Hannah Arbitman. How's it going?
It's going well. I haven't watched hockey in way too long. I feel like the All-Star break is really getting to me. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it for
it's
all
like
of us.
Really going on for me, aside from like school and work, but yeah.
It has been a quiet 2 weeks other than myself, kind of Rat, and also Rob being sick. We were supposed to do this episode last week, and we're going to get into our guest here. But and then even then, we tried to skate a couple of days, and it's been so warm here. This winter sucks, so no ice going on for us. But we have another guest here as well. I haven't known this man for very long, but he's a hell of a hockey player. He's one of the chillest guys I know. He's actually responsible for getting me into my first men's league game. He's even played in his first SHL game this last summer at Dirksen, where we met him on those immaculate summer nights playing roller. Constant back and muscle problems never keep this man down. He still looks like Andrew Tate, top P. He is top P. Rob Pesci, welcome to the Talking Pylons podcast, man. How's it going?
Hello. How we do today?
Great. It's great, buddy. We want to know a little bit more about you. So as I ask everyone, where did you get your start in hockey?
I got my start in hockey in DuPage, center ice DuPage. So that was the Flames. Yeah, that was in 1996. So you weren't even a thought. None of you were even thought of yet. And then years later, some of you were thought of. So, but as a kid, I played out in center ice DuPage.
There's those back problems I was talking about, just aging yourself right there.
Dude, beating myself up. You'll find out.
Oh, yeah, don't rush me. But so you got your start there. You said that you kind of got your hockey season or your hockey career cut short, though. You didn't was it just a couple years that you were playing when you were a kid?
Yeah, I only played fifth and sixth grade, so very short-lived. As most of us know, ice hockey is a very expensive sport. So even back then, it was crazy expensive. So just fitting it into the household for most people, it can get cost a lot of money. So got cut short basically because I had a surprise brother and he ended my hockey career.
Damn. Well, you stayed up with the sport, right? And stayed around
Always stayed around the sport. I was a big Hawks fan as a kid. Obviously, there were the dark ages, I call, from like 2001 to like 2006. So hockey was not as big in Chicago, but always played on the street, always played some roller, always tried to stay active as a sportsman. So I was always a parent with it. Next.
That sticking with it got you to the point where you were now playing men's league. You have known, I believe it's a couple of those guys since grade school, or was it high school? So how'd you get involved in misconduct and also what is it? The other team that you're playing for is
Dumpster Fire.
Dumpster Fire. Misconduct
was the big one. So pretty much after many, many years of my life going different paths, I finally ended a music career and then decided to go back to hockey. So at age 30, I was like, well, where the heck do I want to go play hockey? So I went back to where it all started. So that was center ice at DuPage. So went there. The ice rink was exactly the same, kind of a dump, but that's how most hockey rinks can be over time, right? Started playing there. Met a good buddy of mine who I've been friends with for, I think, 6 years now. But we kind of just jumped into playing rat hockey, not with Jake, you know, no pun intended there, but literally just rat hockey, and then got back into playing, and you're just in an older body now. And you still, if you're a natural athlete, fortunately, which is what I've been around my whole life, you can get jump back into it. It's just a different body, different mechanics, and you just go from there. So,
yeah. You mentioned that you were in a band and in that music culture for a little bit. We talked about some of that this weekend, but first I want to go into what was your band? What was it like going and playing different gigs and living the life of a rock star?
Yeah, you know what? To be honest, music from 2003 to 2015 was pretty awesome. It was like a big era, right? There was a lot of bands. There was I was in the pop punk genre. So back then we had Fall Out Boy, who's lighting the torch for us, and there's still a relevant today, which is freaking amazing. But it was the life, you know, how they say, like, living like a rock star, partying like a rock star, literally can and is that. So I had a lot of fun with it. I had a great group of guys, and it was a big part of my life from junior high all the way up until well past high school. So that's what took up most of my time, where hockey could have been taking my time, but it did. So.
You name dropped Fall Out Boy. We're gonna get into them a little bit when we talk about the All-Star Game. They're my favorite band. They killed it at the All-Star Game. I'll just say that. But you told me this weekend while we were sitting there watching the All-Star Game that you've actually gotten to meet some of the band members and clean their houses and stuff. So what is that all about? How did that come to be?
Clean their houses, what did I say?
Yeah, weren't you maybe you were just I knew you cleaned tanks, fish tanks for
Oh, no, definitely not any of the Fall Out Boy band members. No, nothing like that. But I've been around.
You were looking at pictures on a table, right? Weren't you in their apartment or something like that?
Yeah, no, what I was just saying. So back in the day, we were all in the scene, right? And Fall Out Boy is a local group. So we had a lot of friends that were not only friends with bands like Fall Out Boy, but Alkaline Trio is Chicago-based and some other bands. So we kind of had ties to some of these people and these artists. So it was like a big network in Chicago area. So if you're in that scene, you had, you know, you were able to talk and hang out with some of these people. So that's what we were fortunate to kind of have. And we were around the influence. We were around some of these celebrities. I'm not on like a firsthand basis calling them on their phones and stuff, but we were definitely around in and around their atmosphere. So
I'm jealous. Why didn't you call me?
It was because you were, I don't know, learning how to walk. I don't know.
I didn't know you at the time.
No, I think it's only been about 2 years, my man, right? Are we going on 2 years or are we going on three now?
Two. Well, you had met me. We had met you, as I mentioned in your intro, at Dirksen, just skating roller. And I'm pretty sure one of the first times you ever met me was when I transitioned to go backwards and I had played ice that morning. So I thought it was the same thing, muscle memory, and fell and cracked open the back of my head. So what was your first impression of our squad? I think I'm pretty sure Rat was there.
Literally just hanging out. I don't recall Rat being there, as handsome as he is, but I don't recall him being there. And literally, I remember me and my buddies were just hanging out. We kind of just met you guys, and we turn around and you're on the ground. And we're like, what the heck just happened? And my buddy Joey saw you. He said you were just transitioning to go backwards. He like you healed up somehow. You just fell and hit your head. And you had like a little bit of blood coming out too, from what I remember. So that was kind of our first impression of meeting you. And I was just like, well, he seems like a nice, happy kid still. So that's good. And then we continued on our day. We started playing and everything developed from there. So
I had a little bit of brain damage, but I'm still a happy, healthy kid. But There's actually still a little blood spot in the White Sox hat that I was wearing. I tried to wash it out, but it's just, it's there. It's a relic.
Yeah, no, that's not going away.
I remember just, I was like, you know what? I'm still good to play. Like, I stuck my finger in there, and then I was like, well, at least I'm wearing a hat. So, you know, we're good.
That was a good introduction regardless. So
if I was going to start bleeding and it was going to start coming out, the hat would catch it. It was fine. I just started slurring my words. But
pretty sure we drove to the Dirksen together that day, so I was kind of nervous on the way back. I mean, I'm already nervous when you're driving me somewhere anyway, but yeah, no, I mean, you were kind of out of it that day and made me even more nervous.
I'm a safe driver. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Asshole. Anyways, so Rob, this past summer, you got to play in your first SHL game. Unfortunately, it was kind of crazy for you, for your storyline. I could have wore the Oilers shirt again today for dual reason, because every time we're together, the Hawks are playing the Oilers. And also, you started out as an Oiler and then switched over to the Leafs, which even as commissioner, I know I hate it just as much as you do, because it looks unprofessional to be switching teams and stuff like that. But what was your experience like? And I know you got some limited time out there, but what are you looking forward to in this next year as well?
To be honest, I thought it was pretty cool to see. I don't know too many just throwing together leagues like that for outdoor roller, especially if you're just kind of doing almost like a pickup style. But you guys have been developing this for many years, from what I understand. So it was just cool to see how well put together it was. There was a lot of cool talent out there. What else? It was just overall pretty fun. I couldn't believe that you were able to throw that together at Dirksen. Obviously, switching teams and whatnot, we just made do with what we had. We had some last minute changes, from what I understand. Some people had to leave, some people had to go. So overall, I just thought it was a really cool experience.
Yeah, no, it was great. And even in the limited time you had out there, it looked fun. Going into this next year, last year, because of the sickness, we were also supposed to sit down with Charlie Borda, talk about a draft board. So that's gotten pushed back a little bit, but here we are. It's February. It's about that time for the draft. So we'll be getting that going in the next couple of weeks, but it's Rat and Charlie Borda as captains. Rat has come on already and said that he's going to be playing as a goalie this year, but he's keeping the C. And as far as drafting goes, I think Charlie Borda's for sure on being the Seattle Kraken. Rat, have you decided on a team yet, or are you still kind of up in the air?
I think I'm going to end up sticking with Vegas, sticking with the expansion team. Since I'm being goalie, I'm have to wear a jersey, and I got a Vegas Golden Knights jersey, so I'll be wearing
it. You are, in fact, you're going to be a goalie?
Yeah, for sure.
No way. That'd be dope.
Rob doesn't listen to our last podcast. It's okay. It's fine. I don't take offense to it.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That falls into the whole 1.5 hours of us talking.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Exactly.
I'll catch up.
It's fine. Well, Rob, where do you see yourself going in this draft? So who would you like to play for? Whether it's captain or team, and what do you want to bring to the table this year?
I already heard Kraken. I like the Kraken. Oh, do we have the two teams for sure picked or no?
Yeah, Charlie Borda's almost 100% sure. I'm pretty sure he's at 100% that he's going to be sticking with the Kraken. So it sounds like Rat's going to stick with the Golden Knights. So we're going to have a little bit of an expansion draft battle.
Kraken, Golden Knights. Okay. I do dislike, just me personally, I don't like the Golden Knights, but that's just a preference, you know. But as for teams, no, it's a toss-up. I have no idea. You know, there's a lot of the guys I still got to meet, but I only know very few people. So to me, it doesn't matter as much.
Gotcha. Yeah, this should be a good one. This should be fun. Is there anything I'm missing, though, as far as, we could even get into all the times we've been skating on the ODR and stuff like that, the backyard rink. And I don't know if am I missing anything out of your career here?
No, man, I didn't, you know, cannot have such an extensive career like Rat has. You know, I was never a professional or anything, so I didn't really get to play that much, to be honest. So yeah,
ask my aunt Sabina, she thinks otherwise. She thought you guys were both pros when you walked into dinner on Saturday night.
Yeah, I thought there was something a little different about that. That's all right. I mean, I played a lot of hockey, just not in, you know, organized leagues, I guess, like that.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And anybody who plays out on my ice is kind of a professional, you know, I'm just saying. My backyard ice, you know.
No, happening. You're not just saying. There's no way.
We've had some Peoria members out there, so, you know, it counts. It's everybody that steps out there. It's You know, you got the lights when it's not melting. It's great.
We might as well just convert it to a roller rink at this point. Get ready for spring.
This has been awful.
You got to make use of it somehow.
I was just about to add some really nice rat nose, some really nice overhead lighting. And of course, it's got to be 45 degrees outside right now. Cool. It's fine.
Love it. Summer.
Yeah. Honestly, that's just what I'm ready for at this point. If I'm not going to be able to have a rink, just let it be 90 degrees. 80, maybe 85, maybe somewhere in there. You know, soap hockey for sure.
Soap hockey.
That's about the only hockey I'm good at. Actually, I'm
good at it. At least you could come away having a fun experience with it, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think I threatened you last week with the, do I dare pull up the footage of you shooting the puck
I'm so glad you didn't put that in anywhere, because that would have been so embarrassing. And I think it was canceled.
There's footage of you doing that? Was it a good shot, bad shot? Or
wait, which one are we talking about?
Shoot the puck at the SHL game last year.
Oh, no. You know, like, if anybody wants to see that, they contact me first. Payment plan, they'll pay me like $5,000 and then maybe I'll show it to them.
$5,000, huh?
Dang.
I'm pretty sure
contract, so
pretty sure I also have a video of Hannah playing hockey.
She's...
Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Fortunately, I do.
And I don't know if I still have it though. If I have it, I'll have to
it's one of those things where, you know, you have that folder on your phone that's like My Eyes Only, like the clips of me trying to play hockey should be in the My Eyes Only folder. They are embarrassing.
Well, yes. I hate to tell you, when I finally make the 2022 SHL recap video of the game, I was going to throw a couple. I'll throw the best ones in there, though. I'll throw the ones where you actually hit the puck. And
was I shooting with the lefty stick?
No. I don't think
exactly.
I can't imagine.
Are you a lefty? I think I had asked you before we went out there. I was like, are you lefty or righty? That might be really the reason why you didn't. You should have told me to get another stick.
The first time I golfed, I was convinced that I golf right-handed. And I played so bad. And I was like, I'm never golfing again. And then I come home and tell my parents. And they're like, well, you're not right-handed. And I was like, no, you're right. Still haven't played golf since then, but...
That's so weird, because like I play hockey, like I'm a lefty, but like I golf righty.
Well, like, a lot of people do. When I ask them, because a lot of like right-handed players will play with their left hand or vice versa. So I think it just depends on like muscle memory and probably like when you were a little kid, I mean, the way that
you learned,
got used to playing and you learned how to play. But when you're 20 and you're trying to play right-handed after like not using your right hand ever.
Right.
Do they have golf in Russia?
No. No.
I was just thinking about that. Anyways.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at like in like a mean way. I just they don't have golf in Russia.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they would.
And like hockey players play a lot of golf, and any time that there's a golf outing, I think Russians dread it the most, because golf is not a thing in Russia.
Yeah. All right.
It's big.
It must be Russian. I'm not good at golf either.
No.
Oh, you must be Russian. I get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've got a little bit in you.
Me? I don't think so. It's from my mom's side, but we're already Irish, German, Greek, and English on that side. So I don't know how much more you could really fit in there.
I want to do a 23andMe test because my dad convinces me that we're Hispanic. And I want to know how accurate that is.
I could see it.
Yeah. I feel like I might see it a little bit. He says that like we had ancestors come from Spain. So
Spain would make sense. Spain's a beautiful country.
Spanish Spain. Yeah.
Yeah. What if I'm actually like a princess?
Like Mike? Princess like Mike? Princess Mike?
Oh, thanks, Rob.
He's so pretty. Oh,
yeah. Rob, this isn't even your first podcast appearance with us. You actually made your debut with the Voodoo podcast. plug for our other podcast. However, that is only an audio podcast, so this is the first time everybody's getting to see your beautiful Andrew Tate face.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Is it bad that I still don't know what Andrew Tate looks like?
No, that's good.
Well, just look at Rob, and that's kind of what he looks like, and then Rob throws the sunglasses on.
My hat. I got to put a hat on for the podcast. We'll do Charmander for the rest of the podcast.
There you go. Well, we're going to jump into some NHL talk, unless you have anything else you want to add, Rob.
No, let's get into the NHL.
Absolutely. We missed 2 weeks, so we got to cover a little bit from last week. First off, there was a Jack Edwards apology to Pat Maroon after he made those comments that we've talked about on previous podcasts, calling him a couple of different names, basically shaming his weight and stuff like that. I'll be honest, it looked like it was Jack Edwards squatting down in the stall talking to Pat Maroon. It looked like Pat Maroon was just kind of looking forward, not really caring anything that Jack Edwards had to say, but it was a really nice gesture that Jack Edwards went and apologized. I mean, he could have just stayed up in the booth and, you know, not gone down to give the apology and stuff like that. So as much as I don't like Jack Edwards, I think as a broadcaster and as a homer when it comes to Bruins hockey, it was a very nice gesture that he made amends. But I don't know, what did you guys have to add?
Yeah, I think it was a nice gesture. I mean, again, like you said, he didn't have to do that, and he did. And I mean, Patrick Maroon didn't really care what he had to say because of the things that he has said in the past. But yeah, like you said, I think it's a great gesture that he at least took the time out of his day to do that.
He recently just apologized, like a couple days ago. Didn't that happen back in November? Okay.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Well, didn't it happen like the thing that went viral was back in like November?
Yep.
So it took this long? All right.
Well, I guess Tampa had not met Boston on the schedule for a while.
Yeah, that's true. But
so I guess an in-person apology.
All right. Yeah, fair enough.
I think an in-person apology would have been good, but he could have started with a social media apology because it did happen so long ago. I think the in-person apology would have made it more sincere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he reached out and texted him. I know on Spit and Chicklets, they mentioned, you know, I don't know who it is that has Jack Edwards' phone number, but they were like, we'll give him the phone number and he can reach out to Pat Maroon and text him. So hopefully, maybe he even did it privately. I don't know. A social media, like you said, post would have been nice to say like, hey, I at least, you know, extended the olive branch and then of course do it in person, because otherwise it took a little while. But just even him doing it was I guess a good thing. But yeah. The Edmonton Oilers, I mentioned Rob and I are always together for Edmonton versus Hawks games. And
we were out
on last Saturday night talking about, you know, hockey and the Hawks were playing Edmonton, and they threw in their E-bug, emergency backup goaltender. And his name is Matthew Berlin. There was only about 2.5 minutes to go in the game. He made one save. Was the only shot on goal against him.
That's all he got?
Yeah, but it was McDavid's idea to throw in the E-bug. McDavid later apologized and said he meant no, you know, ill will towards the Blackhawks for doing it. He just thought it'd be a cool idea to get this guy. So their regular backup goaltender was not sitting on the bench. So the E-bug was sitting on the bench as the backup that night. And he said, you know, since this guy's in this position, he's, you know, usually sitting up, you know, probably in a booth somewhere, but this time he's on the bench. We might as well get him in. They had a 7-2 lead at the time that McDavid recommended it. They gave him one more goal, but then they threw Berlin in, and yeah, he did all right. He's made one save, and he's got a 1,000. He's got a perfect save percentage. So I thought it was like, oh, really, you're going to like at the Hawks are having a bad enough season as is. You're going to trash him by doing this. But it was a cool opportunity for the guy. He joins the names of the likes of David Ayers and Scott Foster. So we get another E-bug situation.
I think it was a sweet gesture because he's also from Edmonton, as I understand. So to have him be able to wear his hometown jersey in an NHL game, and this guy's in college, so I thought that was sweet.
I was rattled about it. I know McDavid said that wasn't any meaning to the Hawks, not trying to be malicious or anything, but you're up by that much and you put in a guy who isn't even on the roster. I mean, I get he's in college. He goes to University of Alberta. I don't know if you mentioned that or not, but putting him in, I mean, you're up 7-3. I mean, that's like in men's league when you're up by 6 or 7 goals and you try extra hard to get that extra lead, you know. It's like why, like you put your best player out there to just go around everyone and score, but like I think it's an asshole move. But again, he said that it wasn't trying to be malicious, and I get that. I get you wanted him to get his spotlight in the NHL, but I didn't like the move.
Yeah, Rob actually mentioned it. So we were out at a bar. It was kind of loud. Rob mentioned when he came in, he's like, what's with this guy's helmet and his pads? And I was thinking maybe they just recalled him from an AHL team and looks a little different. But yeah,
no. Yeah, I was trying to figure out that team. That's what we were talking about. I was like, where'd he come from?
Bakersfield Condors in California.
If he was coming from
Isn't it so weird how their AHL team is in California?
Yeah.
We're not the only franchise. That's always something that like makes me wonder.
Well, I've always thought it was kind of weird for a team to have an AHL franchise or in any sport, a minor league franchise so far away from the actual city. But I guess it makes sense because then you spread your fan base elsewhere and the players get a chance to not have to live in the same spot. Like if say like Winnipeg or somewhere cold, even Chicago, I mean, Chicago's great, but like even if you had like your farm team right here, I guess, you know, moving up, you don't really get to travel and see the world and stuff like that. So I guess there's benefits to it.
They get to come out of Rock Vegas, and I'm sure they're all very excited.
Yeah, come out of Rock Vegas to go to Chi-Town. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a plus. That's sure something to work for. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So, but
just an added bonus.
I mean, a lot of like teams are like that though. I mean, I get the whole you want to change the scenery, but it's also tough to have all those teams so close. Cause I mean, like even like the Wolves, like they've had so many different affiliates. Like they were the Atlanta Thrashers originally, and obviously they're gone, and then they became Vancouver, which is out west, and then they became St. Louis, which is the closest team they've been to be honest. And ended up with Vegas for a couple years, and now they're with Carolina. Like the Wolves are just everywhere. Like it's so hard because like if you're gonna have a team, like you gotta have that team stick with them. Like the Charlotte Checkers used to be the Hurricanes. I don't know if they changed their jerseys or not, but they probably still have the same colors, right? Like they still like look like the Carolina Hurricanes. Like the Rockford IceHogs, I think, will never leave the Chicago Blackhawks because they have the exact same jerseys, just different logo on the front.
They bought the team, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure a couple years back. Well, maybe only like 1 or 2 years. Yeah. It made most sense when the Wolves were Vegas's farm team because the color scheme was kind of the same. But then, of course, Vegas wanted their own baby right next to them in the desert with the Silver Knights. So now they can own their own. I don't know if they do own their own AHL team like the Ice Hogs and Blackhawks, mm-hmm. but I would imagine if they had a completely built to host the gold or the Silver Knights, then yeah, that's probably the case out there too.
Yeah, I believe that they do.
But yeah, going back to the e-bug situation though, I mean, when you're McDavid and you're scoring some spinorama pass goals, he had a spinorama down low, which led to an assist. So, I mean, I think you could do anything at that point. I think it's free game if you're playing like that. But yeah.
I think he just goes back to the bench and coaches the team from that point on.
Honestly, right? Yeah.
If you're making the calls, just like
just well, it's go. Like it's like you got your star coach on the team. I mean, you can compare it to the NFL with Patrick Mahomes. Like his quarterback coach is Matt Nagy, and like there's like pictures and videos of like Nagy on the bench holding the iPad trying to show him something, and Patrick Mahomes just is not paying attention at all. And like it's just so funny because like you can't teach the kid anything. Like he's so good. But it's like that. You have your superstar coaching your team. I mean, McDavid probably knows everything he needs to do. He's probably not even coachable at this point because like he just knows how to be perfect, and he knows that when he's wrong, he knows what to do to fix it.
He's a god. He's on God mode.
Yes, he's unbelievable.
But coming to Chicago, we had some news this past week. Bobby Hull, the Golden Jet, died at 84. He was a 12-time All-Star, 2-time Hart Trophy winner. I didn't want to dwell too long on this one. I mentioned it on Mike on the Mic. Shout out, plug my radio show. Anyways, but I did also mention on there that I was not a fan of him off the ice, because not only are there rumors that he was a womanizer and an alcoholic, and also all of that spiraled together to maybe there were reports that he would abuse his wife. That's all speculation. That's all rumor. I don't want to, you know, put that out there if none of that is true, but I just want to make it known that he also at convention one year told my mom right in front of me, "Come on, sweetheart, you can sit on my lap." So not exactly a fan of the guy off the ice. I think what he did on the ice was great for the sport, revolutionized the game, him and Makita with those curved blades. Honestly, the stats speak for themselves. And as I mentioned, 12-time All-Star, 2-time Hart Trophy winner. But yeah, sad to see him go. But the Hawks even cut ties with him as an alumni and an ambassador just about a year ago. So that's kind of sad. I did just get a tweet that said that there will be a moment of silence for Bobby Hull. Is it this Tuesday that they're going to do it? The game against the Ducks?
And if I can add, it did say for his on-ice achievements. Danny Wirtz made that very clear. So,
yeah. So, good. I was more upset when Stan Mikita died. I think he was a class act, and I really missed that guy. I never got to meet him, unfortunately.
I mean, they did do a lot when Tony Esposito passed away with the 35 patch and the logo on the ice. And they said that, kind of with Bobby Hull passing away, they'll take the moment to kind of honor him on the ice, but they're not going to go out of their way to make a separate patch or do any of what they did for their previous past alumni.
Yeah, so. I could see that. That makes sense. That's another one you mentioned is Tony Esposito. My grandparents actually know where they've met Tony and Phil down in St. Pete Beach, because of course Phil started the Lightning and owns the Lightning. And I've still never met them. However, I've gotten signatures and autographs that say, like, you know, to Michael from Tony. Of course, I'll never get to meet him now, but hopefully I'll get to meet Phil at some point. He's a legend in and of himself. And I don't know if he's a big podcast guy, but I could always ask. That would be cool. I haven't even thought of that. But I got to meet the guy first. That would be great. Well, Hannah, we had one for you 2 weeks ago, basically. It was the Hurricanes and Sharks game. This was almost a game where we almost saw, like we saw in 2013, Hawks and Bruins in the Stanley Cup final, where it was one game, both goalies pulled for an empty netter. However, it didn't quite get there, but the Sharks did score an empty netter to go up by 2, and then the Canes scored 2 in the final minute in order to bring it to overtime. And what can you tell us from this game, our little East Coast analyst and Canes expert?
Yeah, I didn't even watch that one, but it's no surprise to me, honestly, when I'm like following the game on tweets. It's like, okay, down 2 with a minute left. I'm like, they're taking it in overtime. And that's what they've done every single time. I think their last several wins have been like the overtime goals where they've come back from a deficit. Oh, their last game against Los Angeles, I think, when I think it was like 4-1 to start the third, and then they ended up winning 5-4. So just very many examples of how much grit that team has, and honestly, not even surprising anymore. Like, we're all past halfway through the season, and the things that they've done, it's almost like it's normal.
I remember you telling me that they were having some shaky moments throughout their team, and some stretches where it didn't look like they were a playoff team at times. But honestly, if they're getting hot now, that's crucial, because going down the stretch, I mean, they should already be a playoff team. They're in a playoff position. And then you think about it, they were picked to be cup contenders for the last couple of years. So why not pick them again this year? I could see them going on a deep playoff run for sure.
I think they will. And I think that them making their move to finally put Max Pacioretty on long-term reserve rather than regular injured reserve They're probably going to want to look to add somebody that's going to finish and kind of fill that role that Max Pacioretty was supposed to play in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see how they shape their roster over the next few weeks here before the deadline and then what they can do in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still don't think that they will do very well late in the playoffs due to their goalie situation. They all season have had one goalie be consistent for a month, and he's in the AHL right now. So they don't have a very good goalie situation and who's playing for them. And I've already had this conversation with Mike about the Boston Bruins, but we don't have to get into that right now. But again, their goalie situation, I don't think they're going to be able to do well far into the playoffs.
No, I definitely see your point there. And yeah, they're one glaring elephant in the room, I would have to say, is that they, yeah, need to solidify a goalie spot there. And no, as you made the point, I thought it was more of an AB goalie league. But most of the teams that have a 1-2 punch with not exactly a backup goalie, but guys who share the crease, I guess it doesn't work out as often as you might think if you once you start looking at the stats. Boston this year, though, may be the team to do it. But I don't know who's the better goalie there, Swayman or Ullmark. I mean, they both had their rough patches, yet the Bruins are still winning games. However, I did want to mention in these notes here, the Bruins lost three in a row for the first time. They did win one in Toronto against Toronto going into the All-Star break, but it was the first time the Bruins had ever lost back-to-back games this season, and, of course, then three in a row. So a little shaky in Boston, but, I mean, they're still on pace to be the greatest team in the NHL, which I don't like as a Blackhawks fan, but hey, you got to tip your cap to what they're doing over there in Boston, and especially with that AB goalie tandem, because for stats would show it is harder to do something like that.
We'll if see. I'm not mistaken, Carolina started that three-game losing streak for them.
They did. And then I bet on the Bruins the next game because I said they haven't lost two in a row ever, and they played, I think it was it the Lightning? No, that was the third game that they played. I forgot who they played in that second game, but I was like, yeah, they haven't lost back-to-back. And then they lost again, and I said, well, of course they're not going to lose three in a row, even though they are playing the Lightning, and that's a tough game. They lost three in a row. But finally, I said, they're not going to lose four in a row and go into the All-Star game with a four-game losing streak. So even though it was in Toronto, I did take Boston, and I got the dub. Otherwise, I would have been broke. But, yeah. We had a giant trade right before the All-Star game. And like I said, right before the All-Star game, we are going to get into the All-Star game real quick. But finally, Vancouver Canucks, not only did they officially let go Bruce Boudreau, like we talked about in previous podcasts, they weren't dangling him on the end of the line anymore, but they also finally moved, after a lot of speculation, Bo Horvat. They traded him for Anthony Beauvillier, Autu Ratti, and a 2023 conditional first rounder from the New York Islanders. What can we say about this trade? What does it mean for Vancouver? What does it mean for the Islanders, New York, moving forward? Rat, what are your points? Especially because, Rat, you were kind of involved in this trade. They traded Autu Ratti.
Right. No, I mean, I think this is a good trade for both teams. I think it does hurt Vancouver a little bit, but they're looking with Beauvillier and that first round pick are those two big components in those drafts or in that trade, and that first round pick is a conditional pick, so we'll depend on how the Islanders also Bo Horvat. But I mean, they did trade away their captain. I mean, trade away your captain is a big morale drop, big morale like loser for everyone else in that locker room. I mean, they're losing their captain and bringing a new guy in. Always bringing a new guy in is always different, and some adjusting to get used to. But I think that for both teams, this isn't a terrible trade, as Vancouver, I think, will end up in a little bit of a rebuild soon. And again, yeah, I think the Islanders are making a good move there and pulling in Bo Horvat, some good talent for this year, especially with how well they're doing.
Yeah, I saw a picture from the Islanders that was it was an overhead picture of the bench. The guys were like leaning over so you could see their names and their jerseys, and it was John Tavares, Anthony Beauvillier, Matt Barzal. I forget who the fourth one was. I want to say it was Oposo, but three of the four guys were grayed out because three of the four guys are no longer there anymore. It was only Barzal. So you see the turnover in that locker room, and it's shocking. And it's kind of crazy to think that they're still in the mix for being a playoff team, kind of, with how much turnover has happened in that organization. But Hannah, what do you think of the trade, and then for the Vancouver side of things as well?
I am glad that it happened now, because it definitely gets GMs going on their radar, and now they're thinking, okay, well, he's not an option anymore, so they're making more efforts to call in regarding other players. I did not expect him to go to the Islanders, if I'm being totally honest, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for them. And then with Vancouver, I think they do need to add some talent to their roster. Obviously not that they're not a talented team. It's just the way that they've been struggling this season. They need that rebuild. So hopefully this kick starts it for them too. And that's all I can say.
It was interesting to see that after the trade happened, the New York Islanders GM Lou Lamoriello made some comments, because the Islanders also signed Beauvillier then to an 8-year deal, and he said it was too long and for too much money. And it's like, that's your owner right there, your GM Lou Lamoriello, saying that he thinks that this guy got signed for too much. I'll be honest, I tend to agree, but I'm not the one sitting there also making the decision. So it's weird for them to go out and get a guy and then also criticize their own move. I don't think he's the guy. I don't think if I'm sorry, did I say Beauvillier? I meant Bo Horvat. They trade away Anthony Beauvillier. I don't think that Beauvillier was the guy, but I also don't think Bo Horvat is the guy that'll get you over that hump. So I don't know. To me, this is all just a strange trade.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, Bo Horvat's a solid player, though. So, I mean, he could do a little different in some new scenery here, though.
That's true, too.
I was going to add that there are a lot of things and points that were not told that are kind of kept within the office. So it could have something to do with that, where it will benefit one team or the other in a few years, and only their GMs are going to know about that at this point. But it might not always make sense to viewers and to fans, but I'm sure that there's meaning behind it on a deeper scale.
It was an $86 million deal until 2032, $8.5 million AAV. Rob, what do you think about all this, especially after Lou Lamoriello? His exact quote was, "It's too long and it's too much money."
You know what, man? Business can be weird. You know, hockey talent prospects is one thing, and then there's organizations and business, and then there's egos, and then there's so many factors when it comes down to doing trades like this. And right now it just sounds like he's at the point where he's saying it's too much money, it's too long, it's ridiculous, right? He's entitled to that opinion. I mean, what would you think? You might think the same thing, or you could just be taking a huge risk and you're like, this is going to work. So yeah, it kind of sounds like a sticker shock, especially this is the first time I'm hearing about it. 86 million, man. I don't know. But and then just one other view I like to add. Look, I'm a whole league kind of guy. So when I look at stats and standings, I look at where they're placed in the whole league. So I remember Vancouver a couple years back was doing pretty solid with Bo Horvat. Their everything was in a solid spot. I think it was during COVID, actually, the COVID seasons. They were looking pretty good. They're 27th in the whole league, and then Islanders bumped down to 19th. Islanders was at like the top five when we started out the season. So just to recap on what you guys are talking about, it just seems like they're trying to shake things up and correct their downfall before it gets too low, like the Hawks, you know? So yeah, there's a lot going on there, right? So hopefully it shakes up both sides of the teams and it corrects where they're, because again, Vancouver shouldn't be down at the bottom of the league. They were up top for a while, so. Same thing with the Islanders.
Yeah, especially with what they were building towards. And they did have something to cheer about. We'll jump into the All-Star game and All-Star skills comp this past weekend. Elias Pettersson, or as he says it, Elias Pettersson. I remember how to say it from Spit and Chicklets. Little plug there. But he won the hardest shot competition.
That was a surprise. I did not see that coming.
103.2 mile per hour shot. Yeah, that was a surprise. He beat Rasmus Dahlin, who came close with 102.3 miles per hour. Josh Morrissey was in the 90s. Seth Jones from the Blackhawks, 95.7. Yeah. And Alex Ovechkin, 95.1 miles per hour. So interesting to see. I did want to add, I don't know if I mentioned this last podcast. I definitely mentioned it on my radio show. This All-Star Skills competition and All-Star game being held in Southern Florida where the Panthers play, it was supposed to happen in 2020. It got shut down due to COVID. My buddy Mark Levesque and I, former co-host of this podcast, we made plans to fly to my grandparents in St. Pete Beach. Of course, this was a year away, so we hadn't actually purchased any tickets yet. But our plan was we were going to take a pretty cheap flight down to St. Pete Beach, drive over to South Florida, grab a hotel, stay there for the weekend, go to the All-Star Skills competition and the All-Star game. And of course, COVID cancels it. They didn't make it up right away. The very next All-Star game that they brought back was that in LA? I know Vegas. Last year's was in Vegas.
Oh, no,
2022.
Did they have one in 21?
I don't think they did.
I feel like they didn't have one.
Oh, yeah, they did not. They were supposed to go and have the – or was that last year? I'm drawing a blank on my ears now. Weren't they supposed to go to the Olympics at some point, and then it got canceled? But I wanted to say that they in lieu of that, made it up, and I think that was last year when they had the All-Star game in Vegas instead. I could be wrong, though. I'm not sure. I'm lost on my history, on my recent history. Well, anyways, they finally made this All-Star game happen in South Florida. I have to say, those beautiful reverse retro Florida jerseys. Oh, yes. And the logos were great. Being out in the warm weather on the beach was very cool. It was a really great scene. You saw all the mascots having fun. And then they announced, and this would not have happened in 2020, then they announced that Fall Out Boy is performing during the second intermission, my favorite band, and they killed it. They played three songs. They played their most recent Love from the Other Side. Then they did, of course, My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark, and then Centuries. Killed it, and this would have been the All-Star game that I was at had COVID not happened. And then, of course, when they make it up, they also, to sprinkle a little extra salt on my wound, they put Fall Out Boy right in there. So that's tough. But it was a very cool weekend. Viewership has been down, though, and some people were really taking a lot of heat for this All-Star game not being all that entertaining. I'll be honest, I didn't watch a whole lot of it. I could see why. What did you guys think? Hannah, you said had something that you wanted to
start with. I didn't watch any of it because I had things going on, but I was planning on going before I wasn't allowed accreditation for obvious reasons that I will not be mentioning.
Take me with you.
Yeah. It is believed that we were not given accreditation because we speak a language other than English that might be offensive, taken the wrong way. Anyways.
That sucks.
Anyways,
yeah, that's
I feel like there was a lot going on that was like open to the public that I could have still gone and taken a part of and still gotten some sort of content. And then obviously, like, I have my own connections that I probably could have squeezed interviews in somewhere. So I'm kind of upset about that. My grandma was raving about the All-Star game. Out of all people, I think my grandmother was the most excited because she is crazy over Ovi. And when she saw Ovi Jr. on the ice, I think she's like, I think we're a hockey family now. Yeah. And then we went to the movies Saturday night. Myself, my mom, my grandparents, whole bunch of other people for this Russian movie just came out. Sweetest thing ever. And for like the entire part where they show trailers at the beginning, my mom and my grandma, I'm sitting in the middle, are talking about Ovi Jr. And I was like, this is not ever something I thought I would be a part of. Yeah, so that was good. I'm sure it was very entertaining.
They definitely stole the show. It was, for anybody that didn't see, we'll post a clip, Ovi and Sidney Crosby going down in the breakaway challenge, and little Ovi Jr. got to put the puck in on Roberto Luongo. So that was cool. Other than that, I'll be honest, there weren't a whole lot of highlights. Somebody had mentioned that they were going to do something with alligators. That never happened. But that same person that mentioned that also said that they were going to do something with golf. They did end up doing pitch and puck, which they kind of shot pucks from a pad on a golf course, try to get it in the hole, and then eventually you have to golf it in. That was interesting. I thought that was kind of a highlight. I'm trying to think of who won that one. I had it pulled up here. Who was it?
Nick Suzuki.
Nick Suzuki. I knew Johnny Gaudreau was in it, but he came in second, I believe, in that competition. So it was okay. There was a splash shot challenge where you had to hit like six different surfboards with like the different NHL divisions or conferences on them, and then hit the NHL logo. And it was actually one of those buttons that releases on a dunk tank. That was interesting, although I just felt like they did it wrong. From what I heard and from what I kind of saw from the recap, they would start an event, and then they wouldn't show you who the winner of that event was. They would just hurry up and clip over to another event. So they tried to like leave it on a cliffhanger and then bring you to another event. But it's like, I'd rather just watch the event that I'm interested in rather than you jumping us to all these other ones. It was cool, once again, that they had the women's hockey players there. Sarah Nurse, who's on the cover of NHL 23. Hillary Knight, of course, was there. They were helping participate in the shootout challenge and the Tendy Tandem. Tendy Tandem was just a little weird for me. Like, it was, you shoot a puck in to your goaltender. So for an example, it would be like the Central had UC Saros and Hellebuck as their goaltender. That goaltender would try to shoot all the way down the ice to score a goalie goal. If they missed the net, it was 0 points. And then somebody from their team would go in on a 1-on-0 breakaway on a Western goaltender. So Skinner from Edmonton, or who else was in the West? I'm trying to think of their other goaltender.
Logan Thompson. That's who it was.
Logan Thompson, yes, for the night. So Stuart Skinner and Logan Thompson. So they would have to make the save. If UC Saros or Connor Hellebuck hit the netting or hit they hit the net, but they didn't get it in the actual net. There was a small slot. It would be a 2-on-0. If you made it in the slot, it'd be a 3-on-0. So you're getting more points and then also bettering your chances of scoring on the opposing goaltender who's sitting in the same net that you're basically shooting from. It was interesting, but it was a little complex. I shouldn't say complex because I understood it, but like for the average viewer, I felt like it's like, well, what skill are we really trying to showcase here? I get it's a little bit more inclusive with the goalies because sometimes they don't get included enough other than the goalie goal stuff and the shootouts. But I don't know. It was a little bit of an interesting, weird take on stuff. Of course, you had your fastest skater, but Connor McDavid and Nathan MacKinnon didn't even participate, and Cale Makar wiped out. So this went to Andrei Svechnikov with a 13.699 lap. It was cool to see, but I don't know if I would have picked Svech to win fastest skater, especially, you know, not seeing Dylan Larkin, former winner, did compete. He had a 14.558.
Was he the best guy the whole?
Looking back at it, he skated harder during the actual All-Star game than he did in the fastest skater, I swear.
Honestly, yeah. So that was cool.
Because Andrei Svechnikov, I think when they even announced that he was in that competition, I like remember looking at my phone being like, really? Like, why that one? So right. So naturally I'm sitting there thinking, no way he's gonna win. And then he goes on and wins. All right.
It's all scripted. The whole All-Star game is scripted.
Oh yeah. I mean, a lot of it. Sorry.
I like it though that he won, because I have his All-Star card in NHL Hut. NHL 23 Hut, and his speed went up after winning that. So
what?
Oh my God. Definitely clutch. So now he's fast.
And then, of course, there was accuracy shooting, and This was done very differently from past years, and I think worse. So what it was instead of taking the overall time and number of shots it takes in order to get all four targets, they did, you know, as long as you are in the top however many guys, then it would be a bracketed challenge. So you'd be going up against somebody. I think McDavid won this, but then he did go up against, did he go up against Brock Nelson or was it Nazem Kadri? And he lost. So he had already hit the four targets in like 4 seconds. And then he had to go up against some, and that was solo. He then had to go up against someone and be pitted against someone and do it again. And then that time he didn't hit it as quickly as Brock Nelson. Brock Nelson ends up going up against Nazem Kadri in the final and he won it. I don't know if I like that. I think if it's accuracy shooting, it should be about accuracy shooting, not about how you're competing against this other guy. I think if you can hit all four targets in a certain small amount of time, that's how it's always been done. That's the traditionalist side of things. But to watch McDavid even do that in the like preliminary rounds was just, it's like, holy cow, you see why this guy's leading the goal totals this year.
I think what they should have done, I did like the little competition they had at the end there, but I don't think they need the extra semifinal game. I think you have the top two fastest times and go against each other. And I think whoever the fastest time is also gets a little bonus something, even if they don't win.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that's what they should have done. I do like the competition, though, because they did do that with the fastest skater, too. They had Kevin Fiala and Sveshnikov go again, and they waited for that one to give them a little bit of a breath. But I did like how they had that little extra competition. It just made it more exciting, I should say.
Yeah. And then, of course, moving into Saturday, we had the actual All-Star Tournament, All-Star Game. The Central took on the Atlantic in the finals. That was after two pretty well fought games between the conference divisions, and then of course a brilliant performance by Fall Out Boy. But then it came down to the Kachucks. Well, they were on display all week, but this time it was Florida Panthers' own Brady Tkachuk, and
Matthew Tkachuk is on the Florida Panthers.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. I was looking at a picture of both of them. Matthew Tkachuk becoming the MVP and the Atlantic winning it at home against the Central. Central was pretty stacked, though, with all of the Avs players. It was since it's a 3-on-3 tournament, it was literally Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon with Cale Makar to start on defense. So it's literally a line of Avalanche. So but it was a fun game to watch. It was good.
Yeah, I liked watching it. I like the tournament that they do. I don't like how they used to do the big game. I did like how they used to do the draft where they would draft players, but I wish they would do that again. But I do like the little tournament. It adds a little more to it. I also don't like how Dylan Larkin tried as hard as he could to win. And
he was the GOAT of the All-Star game.
If it wasn't for the All-Star game being in Florida, he would have won MVP, but that's just because he tried so hard. And the only reason he didn't win it is because it wasn't Florida and they gave it to Matthew Tkachuk, who had the same amount of points as Dylan Larkin. But I did like it this year. I think it was fun to watch. And also, can we mention that Seth Jones, I think, has now the most points by a defenseman in any All-Star game?
Yep, that was my last point, was Seth Jones from the Blackhawks went and was our only representative as Hawks fans here. And he now has 6 All-Star game goals since they've changed it to the 3-on-3 tournament, which is the most by a defenseman and most appearances by a defenseman as well, with, I believe, also 6. So he's at a goal in All-Star game pace. So it's great.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
He's been heating up lately, even with the Hawks, too. So it's exciting what he's going to do when he comes back from this break.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. He's earning that money for sure.
We still want Bedard, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, we don't have any SHL news because, like I said, the draft with Charlie Borda got pushed back, but we will hopefully definitely have some of that for you next week. I got to coordinate with him. As far as rink updates, as I mentioned, it's a puddle again. It's slush. However, I will say we did get some time out on it this past weekend. Rat, big thanks to you for helping me shovel the rest of that off after my sickness. And it was the time that we would have had like a full week of skating. Of course, I had to have the flu and it had to be covered in snow. So it wasn't like we could just, you know, sickness or not, jump on out there. We still had to do all the work to shovel it, resurface, craziness. I won't mention how I may have sort of flooded my basement. But yeah.
So we also got some footage of us out there for that one night. I hopped in net, you know, had a warm up, get stone cold in net, you know, just brick wall left and right. I'm playing tendy tonight for my men's league team, need to get a little bit of a warm up, get the feel back. But yeah, we did get some footage, so maybe we'll toss a little bit of that in here, or maybe we'll toss a little quick video on Instagram or something. We'll figure it out.
Well, I don't have it yet, but it's going to be going up on the SHL YouTube channel, hopefully after I get the 2022 footage done within this next 2 weeks, and then that'll also come up shortly as well. So hopefully by the end of February, maybe beginning of March, typically when we're almost done actually skating on the rink. So it'll be a nice little end cap to what was supposed to be a nice winter for us. So yes, yeah, it's some pretty good footage. We did check the GoPros. We do have the footage on there. It's great.
So, and I was a goalie, so I talked to myself the whole time. So you got some good commentary in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Other than my rink, what pond of the pod do we have there, Mr. Ratner?
Pond of the pod. Give me 1 second to that. Let's go share that today. That's our notes. Today we have, I don't really know what it's called. I don't know where it is, but it looks like Saskatoon.
Did you see that on Instagram?
Saskatchewan.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah. Saskatchewan. Yeah. So this rink, it has like these stairs that, why is it, I hate the, when the pictures just come up so small, but these stairs to get, it has like a rope here and it's connected to a giant like metal ball that swings up and down. So these stairs are half up, half down, and you just got to push it down and up for the stairs to go up and down. And kind of like this right here, they're playing, the stairs are gone up there. And yeah, it's very interesting how it is. I mean, I think Mike could throw in a video and on this too to show you guys how it works. But yeah, it's very interesting how it works. You guys got anything to add?
I'll be honest, when I first saw that, I thought it was somebody's basement and I was like, oh cool. But I now that I've seen actual hockey rink, I don't like that at all. Like, that just doesn't seem comfortable or safe. I mean
it's old, so it's kind of like an old barn. Pretty much looks like a barn.
I like it. Builds character. Makes them tough. You know, if they fall, they get hurt, they're going to be tougher. If not, so be it.
In the video that I'll throw in here, the guy almost did fall. Actually, it's kind of over. Oh, well, he moved from the...
There was a picture.
Yeah. The stairs weren't going down, so he kind of had to, like, jump so that his body weight would, like, shift the stairs down. He almost fell. And it's like, yeah, it's a little... extra,
even stepping on the ice,
it's a little unnecessary. I think it could be built differently. That's something I will not be adding to my rink because it's a little goofy, but it was interesting to see for sure.
I think you should add it. Concept. Ooh,
no,
that's why, okay. Why is this here? That's get that out of here. No free advertisements,
no Milwaukee Power.
I actually did see a TikTok the other day, the Milwaukee Power posted in their locker room, like, they don't have stalls or anything. Like, it kind of looks like just a normal community locker room. It's a little out of the ordinary. Their coach was singing karaoke. I was like, what is going on here?
That's weird. That's strange.
But yeah, so that's what we got this week.
Cool. But Hannah, do we have a Russian word or phrase of the week?
Okay, so I don't know why we haven't mentioned this whatsoever, but Mike graduated IMS, right?
Oh, yeah, I did, yeah. I'm a certified broadcaster now.
Right. And we didn't say anything. So my Russian word of the week is going to be pozdravlyayu, which means congratulations. So let's all practice it. Pozdravlyayu.
Pozdravlyayu.
Can you spell it?
Wait, say it slowly.
Pause.
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 Drov.
Drov.
Drov. What's that last part?
Yayo.
Yayo.
Yeah, good job.
There we go.
Got it.
See?
Postrov Yayo?
Yeah.
All right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Postrov Yayo.
Congratulations. Yeah. Sweet.
Yes.
Sweet.
Awesome. So now you know I can say hello. Congratulations.
Hello. Congratulations.
If you ever see a Russian player after a game, hello, congratulations.
Oh, yeah, true. I like your thinking.
We're building sentences here. We're laying the foundation.
Privet. Postrovlyayu. Yeah.
I don't know why, child. It's going to be some bad news bears for me.
Well, we've got some bad news bears as well, because missing the mark is next. I actually have been doing well at betting. I bet on the All-Star game a little bit. I got some wins. Of course, I took some easy takes, but we're recording on Monday. This will probably drop on Tuesday, so I'm going to give you guys Wednesday through Friday picks. First up, we got New York Rangers at home against the Canucks. I don't care about Bo Horvat, Anthony Beauvillier trade. I think the Rangers are taking this one at home. So we're going Rangers money line. The only other game we have Wednesday night is the TNT broadcasted game. That is Minnesota and Dallas. I'm not touching that one. I do like Jason Robertson to have a point in this, though, and also probably Kirill Kaprizov. But Wednesday night, prime time, these two teams are very close in record. So I'm not taking a winner. I'm just taking points. Thursday night, we've got a rematch of the Stanley Cup final on ESPN. I'm not taking that either because both teams are pretty good, Colorado and Tampa Bay. Colorado is heating up now that they've gotten McKinnon back. This one, though, is in Florida. It's in Tampa. I'm not touching it. New Jersey and Seattle, not touching that one either. However, I like Edmonton over the Flyers in Philly. I think that's an easy one to take. Edmonton also have McDavid and Draisaitl to each have a point. McDavid to probably also have a goal. A little bit of a slow start coming back from the All-Star break, so we'll see if these guys come out of the gates hot or if they're kind of, you know, hungover from this past weekend, possibly from too much fun in the sun. We've also got Calgary and Detroit. The Flames should win this one, although Detroit's sneaky, so this one would be my maybe take. Don't take it if you're on the fence. But Calgary does want to get things back rolling since they lost to the Blackhawks. They have not lost a game since they played Chicago. So Chicago's kind of that team where if you lose to them, that's a wake-up call. You gotta get yourself in gear. So I like Calgary for this one. Then we have Vancouver versus the Islanders. We've got the Canucks and Islanders. This will be an interesting one to watch. I'm not going to take any winner in this one, but I will be taking, I think, Bo Horvat and Anthony Beauvillier each have a point in this one. That is my hot take of the week because I think both guys are going to want to go at their former team. I don't know if they're scoring goals, but I do like them to each have a point. So if you could same game parlay it, do that. May give you a little extra dough. Vegas and Minnesota, I'm not going to touch that one. I've already touched Minnesota once this week. Friday, February 10th, we have the Battle for Bedard again. This one's in Chicago, Coyotes and Blackhawks. I like the Blackhawks on this one. I know I haven't taken them a whole lot this year, and I know Arizona always sewers me no matter how many times I say it, but I think the Hawks will take this one at home. I'm just saying. There's no Mullet Arena to save you on this one. Then we also have Toronto and Columbus. I think Toronto takes this one, even though it is in Columbus easily. And then Pittsburgh versus the Ducks. Pittsburgh's having a tough, shaky season, but I do think they go into Anaheim and they take this one from the Ducks. Ducks having a really struggling season, especially for a team that had some kind of playoff aspirations this year. It looks like they're going to be in the Bedard race as well. So take Pittsburgh. And that is all I've got for missing the mark. However, there should also be some picks for Super Bowl weekend coming up. What do you guys have as far as the big NFL game, Super Bowl Sunday?
The Bears. The Bears win the Super Bowl.
Gross. It's a horrible choice. Everyone knows the Eagles already won. They literally already have all the trophies at their place, and it's done already. They just have to play the game to satisfy the viewers. But they already won, so.
Yeah, it's all scripted. The Eagles are going to win. Brock Purdy, if Brock Purdy didn't get hurt, the Brock Purdy would be winning it this year. But Brock Purdy had to get hurt. That's how the NFL wrote it down. So, unfortunately, that's how it goes. And even Joe Shiesty not getting past. I mean, come on, like they got to write a better script for next year, right? I mean, the Bears win the Super Bowl next year. I mean, if anyone from the NFL is listening, I think that's a great script. Think Jay Fields winning it, you know, after a terrible season, getting chirped, you know, got the first overall pick, you know, zero to hero type thing, you know. So I think, again, NFL, anyone watching, great script if we had the Bears win it next year.
This is going to be an awful question, and, like, I probably should know this, but who are the Eagles playing against?
I've got you. I was just about to preview it. So
wait, let her guess. Let her guess.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Who do you think they're playing? Who do you think they're playing? You get three guesses. You get three guesses.
I don't even know the NFL. Hang on. Okay, so I'm going to guess the Cincinnati Bengals. That's not right.
Or?
Okay. You're so close.
It's whoever they were playing. Yes? Kansas City?
Yep. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Pretty good for a non-football fan. Yeah. You're not
the only reason I know that is because we had a game the same day and somebody had to leave to go watch the football game. And I was like, okay, sure, you do you. But it was, I remember that they wanted the Bengals to win, so that's why Bengals were my first guess. But yes,
I wanted the Bengals to win too. I do like Joe Burrow, but I don't mind Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. But I will say, going back to the script, you've got the Andy Reid Bowl, because Andy Reid is the winningest coach in Eagles history, but now he is, of course, the coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I believe he's also the winningest Kansas City coach, or maybe he hasn't hit that milestone yet, but he has had a lot of success with them. He won a Super Bowl with them. Both teams have won a Super Bowl in recent history, which means both of the brothers, the help me out. What's the name here? Why am I drawing a blank on?
Jalen Hurts.
No. Travis Kelce and what's his brother? The Kelce brothers.
Oh.
I forget the other Kelce. But Travis Kelce and his brother both have a ring, of course, not against each other. So it's the Kelce Bowl as well. And they're playing, it's the Battle of the Desert. They're playing at State Farm Field, which is formerly University of Phoenix Field. I've been there. Beautiful stadium. It's one of the only stadiums in the world. I'll be talking about all this on the mic. One of the only stadiums in the world that has a rollout field. The field gets rolled out of the arena and they, go ahead.
Are you sure it's the only one? Because I'm pretty sure Vegas does the same thing.
No, I said one of the only.
Oh, okay. I thought you said the
only. Vegas now has that one. At the time that I went, of course, Vegas was not in existence yet. They were still in California. But when I went, it was the only one in North America, and I believe it's one of four. So there's a field in Japan, and there's there's one in Germany, and I think it's the Bayern Munich field that it gets rolled out so that it could get some sunlight, it could get the proper amount of sprinkler system water added to it, and it gets rolled right back in for them to play on. And I've got the stats on my mic on the mic notes about how many wheels and feet it is that all gets rolled out on like this train track system and stuff like that. So very cool. But they've since changed the name of the field since I've been there. It used to be University of Phoenix. Now it's State Farm Field. And who does commercials for State Farm all the time? Patrick Mahomes. So bravo, NFL. You wrote a beautiful script that you thought the average person wouldn't see through with all these storylines and how dramatic it is. Just like last year's script where it was Joe Burrow, the smoking Joe, against a team that hadn't won it as well. And the year before that, when you had the new versus the old with Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. So, no, I don't think it's scripted, but I do think that some things are played out in a way where it's beneficial for the NFL. And they're, of course, going to play up the storylines. So it should be interesting. I actually like the Chiefs in this one. I know Rob's saying that the Eagles have it already, but you got two great quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts. I think Mahomes, though, has been here before and has been tested. And for him to do what he did on that high ankle sprain last week and now going into, you know, he gets a week off because of the Pro Bowl, which nobody watches. And then he go into the Super Bowl, he'll be at 100%. He looked scary, even injured. So Hurts is also kind of injured. He had that. He's still coming off that shoulder injury from week 15 against the Bears that they're saying he's still kind of rehabbing. So it'll be interesting. The Eagles defense, man, they've putting up sacks, putting up numbers that have not been seen since the 85 Bears. So I don't know. We'll have to see. It'll be great.
The Eagles are going to win 100%.
No, yeah, they already won.
No doubt in my mind the Eagles are going to win. They have a better defense, and I believe that they have a pretty similar offense as the Chiefs. So I think that the Eagles are going to take this one very easily.
We'll see. I wouldn't mind, but those Philly fans are nuts. Philly fans, they got to grease the light poles.
The last team to win was the Eagles for Philadelphia. Yeah, so
it was almost the Phillies this year.
Almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah, I will say for any Philly fans out there, I did root for you guys in the World Series because nobody can root for the Astros. And I wanted to see Bryce Harper be an absolute villain. But in football, I don't really have a horse in this race, but if I had to choose Mahomes, I think he's just a generational talent. So we'll drop the football talk on this hour and a half long episode. We had some people say that they don't like us talking for that very long, but hey, we can and we will. So we also had some people attack our co-host, and I know she doesn't want us to get into it, but listen, if you come at her, you're coming at all of us, even Rob, top P over here. I guess he's going to be on this side when we do the video, but yeah. Yeah. Come at all of us. I don't care. I'll destroy. Can you, I'm not going to like pump our own tires here and all, but the people who are coming at us don't have their own hockey podcast. I'm not saying we're the smartest. I mean, we make our mistakes as well, but like.
We're the prettiest though.
Exactly. Well, some of us, but I'm pretty damn ugly. But like, if you guys aren't even going to get up off the couch and do the work and make your own podcast, then how can you even come at us?
Also, you listen to our podcast. So
yeah, that too. Like, listen to us and hopefully I hope you enjoy us then. Yeah, at this point, we've gone on for, what, that hour and a half? So anybody still here, we probably love you. You guys are our fans. We're appreciative.
I have a new idea. I feel like every week we increase the duration of our podcast by at least like 10 minutes and then like say the most interesting stuff in those, like, well, I can't say that now because I've just been aware.
I was like, what are you doing?
Anyways, next week's episode will be 2 hours long.
Wait a minute. As the guy who edits this down, I don't want to be sitting there for 9 hours doing this all.
All the most, brevity. Make it sound very intriguing. All the most interesting information will be splattered throughout the podcast. So if you really want to dig in, you have to listen to the entire 2 hours. And only then will you know the truth. So
I think, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast before, but the biggest advice that I've learned, not necessarily for this podcast, but in life, is don't compete with the big dogs. I learned it when I was writing for Harper Newspaper. Don't write sports articles about the White Sox or the Blackhawks, because people that want that information are going to go to the Sun Times or the Tribune or, you know, ESPN, NBC Sports. So you have to find your own little niche that you bring to the table that some people can't get anywhere else. So when it comes to a podcast like this, we can't compete with Spit and Chicklets, nor do we want to. I'd actually want to collab with Spit and Chicklets. That would be sick. But what we bring to the table, I hope, other than our NHL news that maybe gets covered and in during other sources. If you listen to other podcasts, we have our Pond of the Pod segment that Rat brings to everybody every week. We have our Russian Word of the Week that Hannah brings. Nobody else is bringing that stuff. So I'll just say, like, you know, you come to us, the SHL news, we have on great personalities like Rob and like all of our other guests that we've had that are either involved in the SHL or maybe don't get their voices put out on a big time podcast. So, I mean, you come to us for uniqueness and stuff that you can't get anywhere else. So keep coming. We'll keep bringing it.
Thanks.
Stop trashing us.
That was a good
one. I want to fight those haters. I just want to fight them all. I love it. I love haters. Haters motivate us, or me anyways. But
motivate us. We yeah. can't fight, because if we fight them, then no one's going to hate us. And then we're just going to be like, okay, well, what do we do now? You know? So having haters like motivates you to work harder.
They hate
when
us.
When somebody says I can't do something, that what just makes me do it.
They hate us because they ain't us.
You hate us because they ain't us?
He's ain't quoting them. They hate us because they ain't us.
Oh, same, that, same.
Was it the dictator?
Same, but different. No, same,
the
same.
The interview.
I just know that. I did want to add in something real quick. Mike gave me a perfect segue to do it earlier by chirping me about my ironing board in the back, but I have from my aunt. She's awesome. She listens to every single one of our podcasts. She sent me a poster from Florida of the Chicago Blackhawks. I know Mike has this.
What?
I love that poster.
2010 Stanley Cup champs.
Oh man.
It's like Kane, Taze.
That's dope.
Some of the main guys, but yeah, my aunt from Florida sent this to us, and I just want to say thank you to her. Now we got something in the background for me, not just a plain white wall with the book over there. And the ironing board is gone. So now we got something. So big thank you to her.
Yeah.
Maybe next episode I'll sit in my basement like I have for some episodes, and then we could both have the same poster up.
Yeah,
absolutely. I love that poster because Bufflin's in it, and I just love Bufflin. I named my dog after Bufflin.
It would be up right now.
So that we're all on the same page here.
We should all just buy the same poster.
I feel like I might have something, but I really like my plain gray walls.
It's all right. Everybody has.
We don't judge. The audio listeners are like, what the hell's going on? But if you watch us on YouTube.
I think that it's more entertaining to listen to us, because then you like you don't see what we're thinking in like our facial expressions, and that makes it that much more entertaining. You're like, these goons, like, what are they saying? So
I will say every podcast that I listen to, Spit and Chicklets, Congratulations with Chris D'Elia, like they all have video versions, but with how quickly I'm moving around throughout the week, going to work, going to, you know, classes, radio show, this, everything else, I don't really get a chance to watch anything. There are certain times where in a podcast they'll say something and it's more for the visual viewers. So then I will go back and like look at that clip. But I love the audio listeners because I'm one of you too. I get my podcasts in just audio form. So
I feel like Mike is one of those guys to be driving around listening to an audio podcast and hear something he wants to watch later. So he'll have like one of those things, you like hold the button and be like, watch Chris D'Elia at this time.
No.
And then he goes back and listens to it at the end of the day and watches all of it.
I'm not going to do it right now because she might actually pull it up, but I'll do the, hey, Siri. No. Remind me to go back and listen to. No. I just kind of keep it in the old Chrome dome and remember to try to go back and listen to it later. But yeah, I am one of those people that drives around listening to audio. When I run out of podcasts in a week, I kind of just sit there and I go, what do I? Oh my God, the Siri thing did go off.
I heard that.
Damn it. I don't even know what device it is. It wasn't my phone, and it's not my laptop, and it's not my watch.
It's everything Apple.
My iPad is somewhere around here. It's definitely not these because I don't hear it in here. But yeah, everything I have that's Apple is with me right now. If somebody mugs me, this is going to be the worst. But I run out of podcasts during the week, and then I sit there and I go, I don't have anything to listen to unless Fall Out Boy drops a new song. So, you know.
I think I've had the same like 15 songs on repeat for the last month and a half. And then, like, occasionally I'll throw a podcast in there, but I don't know.
Morgan Wallen's dropping his new album soon, so you'll know what I'll be listening to for the next 6 months.
To a lot of Kane Brown lately.
Kane Brown's fire. Listen to Heaven. I was just playing a song on guitar earlier for Mike by Kane Brown.
Fire.
About that right now. Heaven is great. That's, like, one of his, like...
That's the one I play.
Yes. But his newer stuff is really good, too. And I was put on it lately, and it's...
He's awesome. Country's the best. No one can ever.
It's a mood. You have to be in the right mood.
I'm always in the right mood.
A couple country songs. And by a couple, I mean a couple. That's it.
No thanks. You hate us because you ain't us.
Well, this has been great. Thank you, Rob, for jumping on with us and sticking around with us. I got one more question for you. Do we have hockey tonight?
Oh, I don't think so. I will check and get back to you.
Okay. Yes. Let me know.
No problem.
Am I Siri now? Is that what just happened?
My goddamn, my watch.
But yeah, no, it's good. Other than that, if we don't have hockey tonight, Rat is playing goalie in his game, so we could always go check that out. And then also, boys, the Mundelein rink is probably melted right now, but I got put on by David Hammer, a guest that we will have on future podcasts.
I saw him a few weeks ago. Sorry. I just hadn't seen him in a really long time, and we were both very excited to see each other. That's it.
I was up doing Hoops of Promise with Tilo yesterday, and I was like, I'm in Mundelein. I'm like, you mentioned there was a Mundelein rink, and he gave me the address. I went over there. It's refrigerated. It has a refrigerator system, and it's free. So I went out. It's outdoor rink. I went out there. The skating was perfect. I shoveled that whole rink. So anybody in Mundelein, you're welcome. I love you. I did you a favor, but it is probably all melted today with it being 45 out. So... And maybe one more rink that we have a chance to. Also, we have passes to the late, as we mentioned, late great Bobby Hull. He has his own community ice rink over in Cicero. So we got to get everybody together to go skate and play some puck over there. So other than that, that's all I got. Great.
Just remember, I love you and thank you.
Thank you.
Tom. He loves you.
We love you all very, very much.
Yes.
Love.
See you, everybody.
Bye-bye. I'm good to go, but something good. Though the motions up.